This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Hey, Trojan fans, it's time to get into the huddle with the Peristyle Podcast. The Peristyle Podcast is your weekly ticket to USC football and recruiting news. Don't forget, you can download the podcast 24/7 at our website, peristylepodcast.com. And now, here's the host of the Peristyle Podcast, USCFootball.com publisher, Ryan Abraham.
Oh, Trojan fans! Wow, he had a smile on his Toby for that one. Welcome to another edition of the Peristyle Podcast. I am very excited. It's Wednesday evening. I got some NBA playoff games and stuff, or play-in games going on, but we're going to talk some USC football. The transfer portal is open. USC spring game is on Saturday. And thanks again to House of Victory. We have a very special guest. And I'm juiced for this one, Connor, because I haven't had a lot of interactions with Jacoby Lane yet. He was early. We're starting the show a little bit early. He's like, yeah, do your thing with the podcast intro. He's laughing at it. It's great. Jacoby Lane, sophomore wide receiver. What's up, bud? How you doing?
I'm good. Thank you for having me. I appreciate you guys.
All right, this is great. Like, yeah. I'm going to like text Miller. I'm like, dude, you didn't bring the energy that Jacoby brought already. This is great. We've had a fun kind of series going, getting guys back on through House of Victory. So thanks again to them. I'll put the QR code up there if you want to donate to House of Victory. They've made this interview possible. Setting up Jacoby. He's over in the over on campus where you get tutored. Nice, quiet place. He's got good lighting. It sounds good. I'm very excited. What buttoned up young man, he's going to do big things. Obviously, you saw a couple of touchdowns in the Holiday Bowl. But thanks again for coming on, man. Are you pretty excited for the spring game coming up on Saturday?
Yeah, of course. An opportunity to show the fans what we've been working on. Kind of get out there, stretch our legs a little bit, compete a little bit, get another chance to go to the Collie. Always good to play there. That's like it's super surreal anytime you're in there. So, more importantly, the fans, being able to have them there and feel that support is kind of what I've been searching for and longing for a little bit. So I can't wait to get out there in the call and see everybody.
Nice. We'll pepper you with questions in a second, but I just want to let everyone know this is our Peristyle Podcast. We're live on YouTube right now. So if you're in the chat and you have a question for Jacoby, we'll try to put it in there and I'll pop it up on the screen. Or if you just have a funny comment or something, or whatever, I'll put it up there. And wanted to let everyone know there is a big House of Victory event coming up on Monday, April 29th, the House of Victory Legends of Troy. So we talked about some of the people that are going to be in there, like some of the legends, like Mark Sanchez and Matt Barkley, John David Booty, Rodney Pete, Mark McGuire, Home Run King, April Ross will be there. But also USC Athletic Director Jen Cohen's going to be there, Lincoln Riley, Eric Musselman, the new basketball coach. This will be his first event as a Trojan. Lindsey Gottlieb, who made that run in the NCAA tournament. Quincy Watts will be there from track and field. So a lot of stars will be there from the USC side. So go check it out, houseofvictory.com/legends, if you want to see that. But I want to start off, Jacoby, with I'm going to put a picture up here. Don't get embarrassed or anything, but this was on the, I think, Benny Wiley's Instagram from January 8th. You were 185 pounds, looking pretty good. And then on February 27th, 195, we see a lot of six pack going on there. Man, that just seems like a, I did a 45 day challenge for my gym and I like lost 10 pounds, but I didn't look at like that. What was that? What's that transformation been like for you?
I think it's been a healthy one and a needed one. I think when I first got here, I was around 167 pounds. So being able to, you know, not only make the jump from 185 to 195, but just the whole time kind of like be able to monitor myself and kind of keep on myself and do what was right on and off the field and kind of do what my body needed and be mature and grow a little bit and not indulge in all the little meals and kind of just take stuff seriously. And then in the weight room, Coach Wiley, I eventually moved down to his rack, and I just every day, every set, every rep, it kind of just all adds up. And then the results show, I guess.
Jacoby, I'm curious, with this transformation, what's the diet been like? And during this time, do you have a favorite lift? Is there something that you look forward to in the gym when you guys do that?
Diet. Little Galen, I eat there a lot. Like they do a good job of like always having like steaks and good mashed potatoes. When I first got here, I actually was like every morning I would go in and eat a waffle with peanut butter on it and just drowned it in syrup. So I would eat that. And I think just not necessarily like the diet, but always going in and like eating the meals. I'm one of those people that like, if I'm not really in the mood, I won't eat it. But like, unfortunately that's not like a college athlete. That's not how you really can eat. So like, I had to like really realize that and take it more serious. And, our nutritionist Rachel and them do a great job of helping us, figure it out. So once I got on a plan and, just stuck to it, everything, solved itself out.
Is that hard? I mean, because you guys are, you know, college age kids, you want to eat cookies and ice cream, whatever the heck you want. And you're, you know, in really good shape already. But if you want to get to that elite level, it's like you got to cut a lot of that stuff out. Was that kind of hard for you? And is it hard for a lot? You know, there's some players that are just like, I mean, there's NFL guys. They're like, I'm sorry, I'm eating my cookies. I don't care. But is it hard, you know, for that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I don't mean to cut you off. Sorry. I think that, everybody knows like you can always like eat cookies and like indulge on like all the gummies and stuff, but eventually that stuff adds up. So like and your body doesn't, as much as you can say your body feels good running on that stuff, it really in the end does it. And you just feel a whole lot better when you get good sleep and are eating the right meal. So that all kind of like translated into my daily routine, and it kind of helped me a lot. So now that I've stuck to that, I kind of won't go back. So,
do you have a favorite lift? Are you a bench press guy, squat guy, pull up guy?
Probably like a clean guy. I like to get under the bar a little bit, do a little dynamic stuff. I'm not much of a like stationary guy.
And then now, Jacoby, so this is your first spring camp, but your second overall camp under Lincoln Riley. You went through the fall, of course, last season. What's this been like for you? Still technically year one academically, but transitioning now to season two, what's it been like for you? Excuse me, the second camp at USC. Now you have a season under your belt. What are the differences?
I think the experience as far as like being able to adjust to the game speed, get a little bit of a feel for my play style and how I like to go into my routes and stuff. So I just think and also having a year under the playbook and being able to go in and not just run routes and think about what my route is, just being able to go in, run routes and look at the defense and be able to run my route based off the defense. And just be able to play the game a little slower, make it all work for me and be able to just play the game at my level like I used to in high school and just take it all back.
Jacoby, a lot of the people on USCFootball.com, they're fans of the recruiting process, and they're always interested in kind of what's been going on, and you know, with recruiting, with players that they like. And for you, a lot of people thought you were going to end up at Oregon. I think Kenny Dillingham made a push late for Arizona State. What was that recruiting process like for you, and what kind of brought you to your decision to pick USC?
I think at the end of the day, it was more about knowing what I kind of wanted in the end of all of it. NIL was, of course, like a big thing at that time, and like that was when it was kind of fresh and new. So, of course, all my friends were getting offered a lot of large numbers and everything. And so I think at that time it was either like go to a school where you feel like you can get the most money and hopefully play, or you can go to a school where like you can get money, but you are at the end of the day going to be able to be on a 3-year plan. And at the end of the day, you're not in college to get money. You're not in college to like chase a bunch of brand deals. You're in college to get developed and go to the next level. And I think at USC, that is the plan. I think everything as far as coaches and academics and everything outside of football, it's more than perfect. But all it takes is a kid that wants it, and a kid that like wants I would say wants like more out of the college experience than just like the little things and being able to show flashy things off. Like, this is a program where if everybody's bought in, everything will work out for you. And I think I'm a part of that. So that's what the recruiting process was like for me.
Jacoby, of course you wanted to come in and compete, and you've done an excellent job of that so far. But did you expect in year two to be thrust into this role where it's this super sophomore class that you guys have and then a few other players around you, but really you're the core of the receiver room? I mean, Brendan Rice had another year of eligibility if he wanted it. Taj Washington did too. They go to the NFL. A few guys transfer out. Did you expect to be one of the featured receivers so quickly?
100%. That was one of the things that Coach Riley and Coach Simmons and Coach Ewart sold me and a lot of my me and Deuce on is just being able to come in and take on that role of the main wide receivers and have such a young wide receiver group kind of lead the offense and be able to lead from the front. The plan from the recruiting process was to learn the first year and then the next year take on the role. So I think as far as the plan, everything's aligned. It's just about going in and doing what we need now.
We talked to Zachariah Branch a little bit, and he said that a lot of you guys kind of progressed as far as reading defenses go. Is that something you felt like this spring has kind of helped you a little bit, or you made some progress on, you know, reading defenses, knowing, you know, where you kind of want to go with your routes?
Yeah, 100%. I think all of us as receivers kind of we kind of learn the certain field intangibles, and route running would kind of handle itself in the later part of things. But we kind of wanted to take a little bit more with the whole IQ part of it and kind of just dissect the game a little bit more and be able to like not necessarily change or like alter your route based off a whole coverage, but be able to stem a route differently, put yourself in a different position, body position wise or hands wise, and be able to capitalize on a play more rather than just going in and running a route based on like the concept and like the route tree. We kind of took a new pride in the dynamic of how we run routes and the IQ part of it. So I think as a wide receiver group, we've kind of shifted it from like just pure ability and talent wise to just real discipline and respect for the game and learning all of our routes and how we should run them through defenses.
Right now, the receiver room was a little smaller than most big-time college football programs. You guys got the 7 players. We'll probably add at least one here in the transfer portal. Going to put you on the spot here, Jacoby. Who's going to be wide receiver 1 next season and why?
I think everybody has a chance to be wide receiver 1 and catch the ball. I think our offense holds nobody to not be in that position and get a lot of catches. You saw Taj last year. he was clearly the leading wide receiver yards wise, but B. Rice had a lot of big plays and contributes to our offense just the same. So I think this year we'll have that sort of same dynamic and be able to contribute all to the offense as one and kind of equally be able to force everybody to say all our names when they speak of our receiver group instead of just saying USC's wide receiver one is such and such or stuff like that. So I think the whole wide receiver group as a whole is going to show everybody that we all have the chance to be named wide receiver one and just be able to play with each other and off each other. So
you're a tall wide receiver, 6'4". You know, you got Deuce Robinson there, big receiver too. USC's had a pretty good tradition last 20 years or so. You know, Mike Williams back in the day with Pete Carroll, but you know, more recently like Drake London, Michael Pittman. There's been some very tall receivers, Dwayne Jarrett. Are you kind of aware of that? And is there any tall receiver either from USC or from somewhere else you kind of model your game after?
Yeah, I got asked a similar question in one of the field interviews, and I definitely watch all those guys, and like you can't not watch Drake London and mimic your game off him or like the Dwayne Jarrett. But I think like at our height, being able to do things like release like Marquise Brown or like little guys like Doug Baldwin, just like being able to be savvy off the line or like in and out of routes at the top of your route and like play like your 5'4" is something I've kind of like tried to take on the role of rather than being able to just be a big guy that just posts dudes up. I think I've became pretty good at catching fade balls, but I think in and out of breaks, I have a lot of room to work. And I think that's something I've been able to pride myself upon this offseason and just take it to another level and be able to showcase that this upcoming season.
We all saw your vertical on full display in the Holiday Bowl, catching, I think, that second touchdown you got way up in the air to bring it down. Our colleague Chris Trevino says that you told him you had a 48-inch vertical when it was measured at USC. That would break the NFL combine record by 2 inches. Do you have that vertical? I want to get to the bottom of that. How high can you jump?
I can jump pretty high, but I think it was misconcepted. I definitely have jumped 45 at school before, but 48 is a little bit out of reach. I definitely did not. 45 is confirmed, but
okay. Hey, 40.
Yeah, that's
one off the record.
48 will get there.
Yeah, did you play basketball at all? Did you play? I'm a volleyball guy. Did you play volleyball? That'd be a great vertical to have, just like hammering balls down the line or whatever.
Yeah, you know, growing up, I kind of like learned the cheat code to the whole throwing your arm up in the air and finessing the height thing. So I think being able to do that, and also the fact that just naturally, like always being able to go up and jump like on the playground and stuff. I never played volleyball. I did play basketball in high school and stuff, but unfortunately our Red Mountain basketball team wasn't all that great. But I have a little dunk package.
Okay.
I'm sure. I mean, if you can jump 45 inches, that makes sense. What does it mean to you, Jacoby, to be a part of this super sophomore wide receiver class with Zachariah, Deuce, Makai? How close are all you guys, and what does that mean to be really the leaders of the receiver room, you guys and Kyron right now in your second seasons?
You know, I think it's, although it seems like a big task and everybody is like, will they be able to do it? I think us as friends and the camaraderie we have and our natural ability, I think that'll handle itself. Just getting that year under your belt and like being able to make those little bit of mistakes throughout practice, I think that was like enough for us. And I think this season we'll be able to slowly but surely let everybody know what we're about and how strong of a tight-knit group we are as a receiver group.
We had a question in the chat. I'll pull it up here. Thanks to Jesse. Who's the hardest matchup to go against on defense so far? It's pretty deep corner and safety. I mean, the secondary looks a lot different than I think than last year. It's pretty, looks pretty deep now, but yeah, anyone kind of standing out to you when you go in reps against in practice?
Um, They're all good. I wouldn't say anybody's putting anybody down or there's anybody that's separating themselves as far as from the whole group. I think the whole group has done a great job this spring of just being able to take the coaching and take it to the next level. I think everybody's technique has gotten better, but I don't think anybody's standing out or anything like that.
Sometimes you get in the reps line and you're like, oh, he's up third. I want to go against him. I'm going to back up one or I'm going to step up. Is there anyone that you're like, I want to challenge that guy or someone that you just want to pair up with?
No, whoever I go up against gets it. I'm not much of a backup and let somebody else go. Probably one of the more physical guys is D Nick. So I think, he's one guy. If I had to pick to go up against him on the goal line, being a taller matchup, it might be a little bit more of a difficult thing. But as far as being scared or anything, I wouldn't.
Yeah, you don't strike me as a fearful guy out on the football field. I'm curious. I brought up Kyron earlier, Jacoby. We don't get to watch a ton of practice, but when I am out there in the early parts of practice, he's taking the first rep a lot. It looks like he's really taking a big leadership role with you guys being a little bit younger in that receiver room. What's your relationship like with Kyron, and what have you seen from him this offseason?
Yeah, that's Unc for sure. He definitely knows that he's the older guy of the group, and he definitely takes that on well. He's not afraid to be the vet and the leader of the group. He definitely knows that he has to let everybody know the standard, and we all abide by that standard, and just let him know that we all respect him. And he kind of has helped us all learn the playbook. He's let us all know how this all works throughout the camps and throughout the lifts, and that's kind of been my lift buddy, actually, the guy I go in every day with and not necessarily go to war with, but at the end of the day, when you're in that weight room and sometimes you don't really feel like it, that's what it feels like. So that's been my guy this spring, and we definitely have gotten a lot closer and been able to learn a couple new things about each other and be able to have a new respect for each other in the sense of learning where each other were coming from and being able to be better teammates. So all due respect to Kyron, great things coming from him this year.
All right. Serb had a comment. It says, Ryan always asks the most suspect questions. That was a listener question, Serb. I don't know what to say. That wasn't my question. Sorry. We get the haters here too, Jacob. That's okay. It's fun. Turn up Trojan. Can you high point a ball above 10 feet? I'll put that picture up of you high pointing one in the Holiday Bowl, but that's pretty up there. So that'd be above the rim.
Yeah, if you can play basketball, I think you can catch a ball over 10 feet.
Yeah, so. I guess so. If you got a dunk package, you should be able to do it, yeah.
For sure.
I was going to answer that for Jacoby and say, yes, I'm sure he can. If he can dunk. Jacoby, Jaden Richardson, a guy who comes from the Division III level at Tufts, USC fans don't really know a lot about this guy. It's not like he transferred from a team where you could just watch his highlights on ESPN or watch a game where he's played. What is he? What kind of receiver? That was a poor way to ask that question. What can USC fans expect to see from Jaden Richardson? There I go.
The spring game coming up, so you'll be able to see that. But I think just being able to know that he's a good receiver, very, very possession catch receiver, been able to get in and out of breaks, very, very savvy. And he's a good dude. I think when people get the chance to meet him, if you ever get the chance to hear him talk, he's a great dude, very receptive of all the coaching, been able to learn the playbook quick. So I think him being able to be a guy that is always available, knows what we're doing quick. So just being able to be reliable and being there for the sure catch is what you can expect out of him.
Just curious, when you guys are – spent a lot of time in the offseason, the gains we showed, I can show that picture again, you guys working out together, doing a lot of things together. I mean, very competitive group, right? You have a lot of competitive people in the room. Who would you say that you've seen, and you maybe playing other sports, maybe it's basketball at the Lions Center or whatever you're doing, like who's like the best kind of some of the best overall athletes on the team? And is there anyone like, you know, like people know Mookie Betts, he's like bowls 300 games. He can do like anything. You got any guys like that that are kind of like super athletes that just can do whatever?
Deuce Robinson, of course.
Okay, yeah.
Baseball thing, but you know, I dabble a little. I play basketball. We all play basketball. Lake McCree, actually. Lake McCree, a healthy Lake McCree and in a basketball jersey is a problem. I think we went to the Lions Center and he had like out of five games, I think he probably had like 30 of our points. I'm not even joking. I wish I was joking. I was just getting boars and feeding it to Lake, but he can dunk all of it. A healthy Lake playing basketball or me golfing.
Oh, you're a golfer.
Yeah. Oh. When we aren't knee deep in a football, yes, I golf.
That's great. That's well, Arizona, man. That's like there's some great courses out there. Exactly. You play in the summer course for super cheap because it's hot as really hot. I was gonna say something.
Hot as what?
Very hot.
Jacoby, let's get into the quarterbacks a little bit. What have you seen from Miller in spring camp? What are the differences for him now that it looks like he's going to be the guy going forward? How have you seen him adjust from being a backup last year to being the potential starter this season?
You know, I think Miller, he was able to approach last season like any mature quarterback would. He knew that if Caleb went down, he would have to be prepared. So I don't think at any point last year Miller wasn't prepared to go in and do what he had to do. But I think also this year he knows he's like the main guy. So I think I don't know. I'm not him in his brain, but I think if I was him, I would be able to say he would be taking a different approach to everything as far as like mentally just being able to know that like everybody's kind of like putting it on him, letting them know that like if anybody needs anything, it's definitely going to be from him. So just being able to be dependable now and just learning to kind of like not necessarily grow up, but mature into a role that he wasn't in before.
And then how is Jade Maiva progressing, and does the team do you feel like he's kind of pushing Miller, or just thoughts on Jaden? A lot of USC fans haven't really gotten to watch or been able to watch him much so far.
100%. He's definitely a gunslinger, can sling it. I think learning the offense is something that he's been able to do, and just keep being able to dissect the defense and learning to the offense is nothing to take lightly. Link is a mastermind. Like the more and more we sit in the meetings together, the more and more I realize it. But he definitely knows what he's doing. So for any quarterback, I don't think there's anything they can't learn from Link in every meeting. So I don't think even Miller, like even Caleb last year, every meeting there was always something to pull from Link. So it's not like anybody's like not learning anything or anybody's like separating themselves. But I think Jaden has done a great job of being able to take in all the coaching and been able to make the most out of it in the spring.
Have you seen more of Lincoln Riley? Because it sounds, you know, now with Luke Heuer doing the quarterbacks, he's kind of bouncing around to different meeting rooms. He's on the defensive side more, but have you seen him kind of more into the receiver room?
100%. Yeah, he's been coming to sit in there in our room, or we'll go in there to start out the meeting and we'll kind of watch everything together. So definitely seeing Link a lot more in the receiver room and just being able to see it from his perspective, or like learning how he would do something or how he sees it, is just being able to really make the most out of it. And like, it's really crazy when you really think about it. Like, sometimes it's surreal. You're like sitting there listening to Lincoln Riley like dissect the defense, and it's like, man, like this is really why you come to USC, and you really do everything you're supposed to in high school, just to be able to get this opportunity to play football at the next level and be coached by some of the greatest to ever do it. Just you don't take opportunities like this for granted. You don't take them lightly. So I think everybody has realized that. And with Link coming around and being able to show face, everybody is kind of like not necessarily bought in more, but realized that like this isn't like a joke or something to take lightly. This is all something that everybody's really invested in and really cares about. So I think him being able to do that is a little thing, but it's one of the bigger things for me personally, at least.
What's it like to be coached by Dennis Simmons?
Oh yeah, that's my guy. I love Coach Simmons. He definitely has an eye for the game, being able to tell me things about my stems or my pad level as far as in my route running, being able to sit there and coach me up even when I don't feel like being coached sometimes. He's very understanding, very knowing of what it's like to be a college athlete and what it feels like. He's coached some of the greats, so it's not like this is the first time he's done it. So me being able to let him know that I trust him and just giving my full effort and energy to anything he wants me to do and just kind of being a crash dummy, whatever he wants me to do, I'm going to do it. And I'm going to do it at 100%. Just let him know I trust him. And I'm going to do it to my best ability. So just playing for him is something I enjoy and I will always enjoy. So just, yeah, Coach Simmons is my guy.
We posted on the you were coming on the show on the Peristyle on our message board over at uscfootball.com, and a few fans had some questions. Would you mind taking a few of them from the fans?
Of course, of course.
All right. What do you got, Connor?
I think the best question is from BushPush96, and he wants to know, what are some of the best nicknames for the guys in the wide receiver room?
I like that you said Link for Lincoln Riley, too. I don't know if that's a common one, but I was like, oh, that's interesting.
That's okay. What Caleb called him last
Link,
year.
Link, yeah.
Yeah, it's Link. But let's say DJ. Nobody calls Xavier Jordan Xavier. Everybody calls him DJ. So DJ for him. Deuce Robinson. Everybody calls him Deucey.
Nobody. Okay.
Yeah. Who else?
What do they call you?
Can't guard Jack. Come on.
Love that. That's a good one.
Kyron's Unk. Lem. Makai's Lem. That's his nickname.
All right.
Zach. That's his nickname already. So I call him Zachariah because nobody else calls him that. But,
I like that.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Thank you. I appreciate it. You've been very diplomatic with your answers when asked about specific players.
He's ready to be a politician, yes, or a coach, or he's already ready.
For the West, SC wants to know, who is more dangerous in the red zone, Jacoby or Deuce?
Ah. You guys want me to just like boast about myself or something? I think me and Deuce's red zone capabilities are like limitless. When you really think about it, like both of us, radius wise and just catchability wise, we kind of just take it to the next level. Body control wise and just pure hands and ability wise, talent level, it's kind of something we've prided ourselves upon since high school. I add a little bit of the one hand dynamic to it, just because I do that so much, like just joking around and stuff. But I think both of us are capable of catching any 50-50 ball. It's almost not like a 50-50 ball. It's more like an 80-20 ball, just being able to go up in a box out and just you rep it so much that it kind of becomes natural. And if the ball is up in the vicinity, it's probably coming down with either of us. So I don't knock both of us. I think both of us are just right here with each other.
Again, he's just polished for a sophomore for sure.
Yeah, another great answer. I'm curious, based on your response there, has there been like a catch of spring practice so far, one of the receivers or maybe a tight end? Has there been one catch that's just been incredible that you could describe or that comes to mind, or people just doing crazy things every day?
I've had a couple one-handed catches. Tight ends have had a couple good catches, but
sometimes
if anybody had a catch this spring, I'll probably give it to one of the DBs. Can't say a name, but one of the DBs had a great, great catch on a pick. Right.
Sometimes at the end of practice, we're waiting outside to interview you guys, and we can hear like people go crazy, like, oh, something happened, you know. So nice. So maybe one of those.
Catch of the spring on offense, though. I had a great one in the catch. But.
Oh. Okay. Okay. Well, I'll have to follow up with Lincoln about who made that great interception. I think we actually talked to Doug Belk later this week, so maybe I can ask him. CS Tahoe 303 wants to know, is there much of a change in practice from last season to this spring? I know you weren't around last spring, but has anything changed fundamentally with practices under Lincoln Riley?
I'd say the physicality with some of the new defensive guys, some of the new drills we've incorporated. I think a lot of people have saw that Instagram clip of us doing that sort of Oklahoma drill, just adding a little bit more physicality into it, being able to come downhill, lower your pads, and get grimy. We've added a little bit of a Trojan period, being able to go in short-yarded situations and compete a little bit. So I'd say overall, just while I've been here, the physicality aspect of it has upped with the new coaching staff and everything like that. So, yeah.
And then the last one here from Kaboom Trojan, he wants to know, what aspects of your game did you go into the offseason looking to get better at? Where'd you want to improve the most?
Yeah, in and out of my breaks, coming out in three steps, not necessarily just being able to have low pad level, but taking the steps serious. The IQ part of it, going in and watching film with my coaches. And then everything else, like the whole gaining weight thing. That was a big thing for me. Although all of the certain route aspects of it, I was trying to handle that. Becoming faster while I was gaining weight translated. Just getting used to carrying that weight and wearing it well. And now here we are in the spring. So it'll be fun to show everybody.
We really appreciate the time here. We went like 35 minutes already, but real quick before we go, how has House of Victory kind of helped you? We want to, again, thank them for setting the interview up, but what kind of any events you've worked with them, or how they've kind of helped you your first year of college?
I think networking, being able to meet new people, connect with some of the people involved with USC, the people around USC, even some of the walk-ons, everybody's here for a reason. So being able to meet new people and connect with people, everybody around here is someone to respect and get to know. House of Victory does a great job of doing that. And just being able to connect with people overall, going to the Boys and Girls Club, getting to help those, not necessarily help those kids, but like see those kids' days brighten up a little bit more because it's something new rather than just the regular Boys and Girls Club's days. I used to go to the Boys and Girls Club, so I know what that used to be like. It sometimes gets repetitive, but having a older role models like all those guys and the track athletes and everybody that goes in there, that's a part of it that you don't take for granted. And you don't get to do that without House of Victory. You don't get to do the Feed My Starving Children stuff, or I'm not sure what program it is, but where you go make all the meals. You don't get to do that without House of Victory putting that all on. So I think overall that's where I've been most thankful to see House of Victory. And it's great team bonding to go play basketball with a bunch of little kids or go do that. So it's all fun.
I'm sure they love that. Well, Jacoby Lane, oh, hold on. We got to give you the prize because I mean, crushed it, like absolutely crushed it. You are a natural, you know, you make me feel worse about myself. Like, man, this kid's like 19 years old, just killing everything. But great job. We really appreciate you coming on and, you know, wishing you the best of luck. Hopefully you have a fun spring game. And thanks again for the time. I know you're a busy guy, so I appreciate all that.
Thank you guys for having me on again. I appreciate it more than you know.
All right. Jacoby Lane. Check them out. Hopefully you can go to the spring game on Saturday, noon over at the Coliseum. We appreciate him coming on. We're going to take a quick break. Connor and I will talk about the portal opening and the spring game and unlimited transfers now and all that. We don't want to say that in front of Jacoby, but yeah, the players get unlimited transfer now, but we're not going to say that to him. But thanks again, Jacoby, and everyone else. We'll be back in a minute.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. This Earth Week, you can live stream seven national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
All righty, we're back.
Told you Jacoby was going to be good, Ryan.
Holy cow, he was great.
That was my idea, getting him
that
on.
That was your idea. I'm going to give you applause for that. Yeah, crushed. He was early. It's not easy to set this up. You want it to look good on camera. So sometimes the lighting's bad or the audio's bad or the camera angle, whatever. I mean, he was awesome.
He was so fantastic.
Do you feel better about like USC's receiver room now just from talking to him? Like, you have to.
Definitely. And that's the position group I'm probably the most excited to see the development and see how they do, because it's a big ask to rely on so many young guys the way USC is. But you look at the recruiting rankings, you look at the Holiday Bowl last year, it's only one game. But I think there's a confidence with this group, and I don't know if that would be there if they didn't get that opportunity in the Holiday Bowl. I really believe the 6 weeks leading up to that bowl game was huge for everyone around USC, but specifically those receivers. And then we saw what all those guys were able to do. Funny enough, Zachariah Branch, who probably had the best season as a freshman receiver a year ago, he was the one who did the least in that game as a wide receiver. He had a nice punt return. So I feel like the guys who needed to get their confidence up the most had that opportunity. And I can't wait to see what they do in the spring game and the next season. I think it's a fascinating room.
Yeah, the one guy you knew, he was the one that didn't even have to do that much in the Holiday Bowl. And like Jacoby gets 2 touchdowns and, you know, Lemon has a big game and all that. So cool stuff there. Yeah. Let everyone know, we didn't kind of talk at the top of the show because we wanted to get right into Jacoby, but we are going to talk about the transfer portal. We'll talk about the spring game a little bit and let you guys go. We'll answer a few questions. If you have questions, podcast@uscfootball.com, or you can call or text us at 424-254-9141. We haven't had a Apple Podcast review for a while, but if you have the Apple Podcasting app, you can review us there, leave us a 5-star rating and some kind of review. You can do the same thing on Spotify. We appreciate all that. We appreciate our sponsor, Trader Joe's. So make sure you get over to check out Trader Joe's. I go to their website, traderjoe's.com, to get ideas. The latest one I saw is a sweet and spicy whipped brie. I do love the the soft cheeses. And if it tells you on the website, double cream cheese is that it contains at least 60% butter fat. So it's going to be rich and creamy. And they have a spicy whipped brie recipe, which I look over there. I want to check that one out because I'm a brie guy. I'm a soft cheese guy. And you can get little baguettes or whatever you want to do and dip in there. But it looks really good. So make sure you go check it out, Trader Joe's. But thanks to them, too.
I was at Trader Joe's yesterday before USC's practice. I picked up 2 things, the peanut butter filled pretzels.
I saw those.
Yep, which you saw me eating.
Yeah, yeah. Did you offer me any?
Oh, I don't think. Oh,
you did not. No.
Why didn't you ask? It was a new bag. I would have been happy to.
He'll probably offer.
Oh.
I didn't want to eat any, but I wanted to, but I was like, I shouldn't eat any.
How rude of me. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
That's so funny.
I don't get between you and your food.
True. I do like to eat a lot. That's funny that you brought that up, though, because in my head, I remembered thinking like, oh, I should offer. And then I think I got like a text or something and then I got distracted. So I won't make that mistake again. And then I got the soyaki sauce, which is the soy and the teriyaki sauce mixed. I put that on these bowls I make with chicken, rice, and green beans. It tastes like you order Chinese food, but you make it at home. So I really like that too.
Very cool. All right. Well, thanks again to Jacoby Lane. Thanks again to House of Victory. Hope you guys all enjoyed that interview. If you didn't, then I don't know why you're listening to the show, because that's the kind of the best stuff we do. But that was great. Yeah, I mentioned it earlier. So we heard that the transfer portal is now like unlimited time. So instead of like you get one free ticket and then you got to like ask for permission after that, no more. All the court cases, all that stuff. You can basically transfer wherever you want. We've seen players transfer from the December window and now enter the portal again in April. So that's going on. And the portal's open. It's been open since Tuesday, I guess midnight, you know, when it turned Tuesday. But it hasn't been that impactful. We asked Lincoln Riley about it, and he was like, you know, you never know, but it doesn't seem like the ones we heard about early are the ones kind of that have entered the portal, and that's about it. So there's not a lot of action, and I don't think nationally there's not been super fireworks or anything. There's some names, and there's some names that USC can be interested in, but it's not been crazy town, I guess you could say, Connor.
Absolutely. And Cormani McClain was a big name yesterday, but remember, he didn't play a lot at Colorado as a freshman, and Deion Sanders was asked about it, and he said he knows what he needs to do to get on the field. It feels like there was some disconnect there, so him getting into the portal wasn't a huge surprise. And then USC had the surprises, like you said, last week, and now since then, maybe one or two players or more jump in after the spring game. Who knows? But since Rakes and Zandamella left, nothing really big. Today, Demonic Williams from TCU, who played at Bishop Alemany, he entered the portal, and USC, of course, is interested in him, but it sounds like he is going to have a lot of competition for his services because he's probably the best interior defensive lineman in the portal right now. There's another guy from Kent State. And then USC has been doing some good work with two defensive linemen, Deion Hayes, who's from Pitt. He's the guy who made the headlines for saying, I really like Pitt, but I don't think the offense is good enough for us to do anything, so I'm out of here. USC's looking at him. He's an edge. And then Jermaine Lole, who went to Long Beach Poly, class of 2018, so this guy is old. I think he could help. He's an interior defensive lineman. He was at Louisville, like I said, most recently. He was at Arizona State before, and he's going to visit USC too. So those are the two names from today. It's going to continue these names, the buzz, the links. As long as the portal's open, USC will be involved, and it sounds like they're prioritizing the defensive line, but I expect them to add at least one wide receiver, at least one offensive lineman, probably two, and then some of these defensive guys.
Yeah, Lole was like at ASU, and USC was in the running for that, and Louisville had a big run. I think they had a big NIL push or something, but it sounds like some of those guys are leaving now too. So just remember, when guys are in the transfer portal, everyone that signs with the school you like wasn't like escaping a horrible situation, and everyone that leaves your program wasn't like a locker room cancer. There's some mix of both. You know, sometimes you go somewhere and it's just not going to work out. Sometimes a player's been a lot of different places and, you know, they just don't stick anywhere. I mean, there's a lot of weird, you know, every player is different and every situation is different. But when you start seeing trends where like a whole bunch of guys were going to Louisville and then there's more guys kind of leaving Louisville. So, okay, what's going on there? I'm curious to see. But Lole was one that I think USC wanted out of ASU. And now, you know, maybe an opportunity to get him. But like you said, this is like a 1 year deal, right? Like he's 2018 or something. There's some players that have been around a really long time.
Maybe he has more eligibility, but if you're class of 2018, I can't see how you would possibly have another year of eligibility when you're going to be playing in the 2024 season. So I'm sure he's a COVID waiver guy. I'm sure he redshirted at some point too, because I mean, class of 2018, Chris likes to talk about how I know everyone and where they went to high school. That was getting close to before my time of knowing where a lot of these guys were from. So I thought that was funny. But I do think, look at college basketball, you get a lot of older players. It didn't work great for USC in some positions last year. It makes a lot of sense, though. The older and more experienced a guy is, the bigger the impact he'll probably have. Lole, I wouldn't be surprised if he ultimately, if he comes to USC, if he has more of an impact than Anthony Lucas did last year, who was that, oh, okay, five-star Texas A&M, he spent 1 year in college, he's ready to go prospect. Sometimes you just need more seasoning, if that makes sense. You need to be in college football for longer, need to get in the weight room. It can take guys a little bit to get up to speed, and I think that happened with Anthony Lucas last year. And this Lole guy, he looks like he'll be a one and done, and hopefully it works out. Last year, Jack Sullivan was a one and done. That didn't exactly work out. Same with Keon Bars. I think, though, just because those two guys didn't work out doesn't mean you don't want to keep going after the one and done guys. It makes a lot of sense with the age.
And Lole, LFG says he missed a year or two due to injury.
Yeah.
So there was probably there too. Mark, the one that confuses me is Rakes. Do you want to like, yeah, that's a transfer in, never play a game, transfer out situation. But we've seen that happen. It's not uncommon now. It's, you know, unlimited transfers. You can do that.
I've tried to ask around a little bit to get some insight as to why he left. I even asked Lincoln Riley. I sort of figured Lincoln wouldn't say, but I wanted to give him an opportunity to maybe say, yeah, he didn't like where he was on the depth chart, like he did with Jason Zandamella. He talked about how Jason wasn't going to help USC this year. So something happened with Rakes. It doesn't sound like it was NIL related, but I don't know that 100% right now. Whatever it was, that's just the era that we're in. And I expect that not to be the last time USC brings someone in January and then they leave in the spring. I think that's just sort of how it goes. If you don't like something during spring camp, you have that option to leave. And I do think it's unfortunate, but more guys are going to do that.
Yeah. Was it Proctor that left Alabama, who was committed to Iowa originally, goes back to Iowa, and then he's in the portal again? I think did he commit to Alabama?
Yeah, he's back at Alabama.
He's back at Alabama. And there was someone, I think I was listening to Cover 3, and they mentioned this. Like they mentioned it was like, well, he just wanted to go see Caitlin Clark play. And then so he just went, he just left the, well, I'll go see,
smart man.
Yeah, and then he goes back to Alabama. But yeah, there's going to be a bunch of that stuff. Not with no penalty for transferring. And I think we'll be in this window of this happening for a little while until, as we keep progressing, there will be contracts and stuff. And so maybe not you have to be at the school and a coach. You know, it was horrible before where, like, if you wanted to transfer, your head coach could say, give you a list of schools you're not allowed to go to, you know, like your hometown school, because it's, we might play them in 3 years. It was really bad. And so now it's completely the opposite. It was so, so restrictive and so unfriendly to the players. And now it might be a little too much freedom. I don't know, but you can just transfer as much as you want. But I think once you get to the contract space where the schools themselves are paying the players and all that, I think we might see a little bit more stability. But everyone predicted like there's going to be a ton of activity, and so far there's not. Now there is a 48-hour waiting period that, you know, when a school, if a player goes to the school and says, hey, I want to go in the portal, it's kind of like a cooling off period. So they don't have to put them officially in the database for 48 hours. But we hear about it. You know, we were hearing before the portal was open, like this guy's planning on doing it. But just in general, it just doesn't seem like there's huge fireworks happening right now. We still got a couple weeks, right, of the portal opening. But, Lincoln Riley addressing it, saying he's not expecting any more players to go. I think for USC, you were going to hear about it before the portal opened. But there will be some guys. And we got a bunch of spring games this weekend, four in the Pac-12 or former Pac-12. Some other games across the country. And maybe guys are waiting. I know Bud Elliott mentioned that if you have a contract with, or, you know, you have an agreement with your collective, maybe you're waiting till after the spring game to get your last check. And then once you get your check, then you might want to go to the portal. So there could be some action later, but if you were like portal watching, it's been kind of like, there's not really that much going on.
Especially on the offensive line. And I think that's where USC needs the most help. So it's great to see them prioritizing the defensive line. That's the two public visits they have right now, unless something's happened since we've gone on the air. I haven't seen anyone else planning a visit. But I believe, Ryan, that the offensive line is the biggest area of need, specifically at right tackle. And so it'll be interesting to see how USC and Dave Emmerich, the general manager, the coaches, approach that right tackle spot, because I think they desperately need another tackle. I like Mason Murphy. I think he's a solid player. Maybe he's more of a guard than a tackle right now. If the season started tomorrow, he would be USC's right tackle. I'm rooting for him. I hope he can lock down that job. But just for depth purposes, if one of these guys on the line gets hurt right now, USC's not in a very good position because they just have a lot of players who have no game reps.
Yeah. Well, we got spring game coming up. So Connor and I will be at practice, the final practice before the spring game on Thursday afternoon. Again, we don't get to watch that much of it. We get to do little bits. Hopefully you're checking out the site. We do our sights and sound videos of what we get to see in the first few minutes of practice, get some stuff up there. I put some wide receiver highlights up on Tuesday. We'll see what we can get, whatever like kind of is good in front of us on Thursday. And then of course the game on Saturday. Yeah, interesting to see, you know, how much the starters are going to play. If you remember, USC scored in like three plays last year.
I remember. I'll never forget that.
Mario Williams, the touchdown, and then...
And I asked Lincoln Riley if that's concerning, the offense scoring in three plays, and he got all mad. And it was concerning.
Turns out, it was. But yeah, the main thing is... We don't get to see much right now, so get just something at a spring game. You don't want to read too much into it, but just what does the defense look like? Not necessarily who's the starters and that kind of stuff. I mean, we're a long way away from that, but just get a feel for what is this defense doing? Are defensive linemen trying to run through offensive linemen and use their power, or is it more about running around guys and trying to make a big play? You'll give up a few big plays in order to make one later on. That's kind of what the defense was before. It seemed like this, roller coaster ride. Is it going to be more consistent? Are they going to be able to shut some stuff down? I'm curious to see that, just kind of what it looks like in general, running with Danton Lynn there controlling the defense.
Who starts next to Bear Alexander with Rakes gone? I think that's question number one. So the first play from scrimmage, I don't think I have a pair of binoculars, but maybe I'll use yours, Ryan. I'm looking right at the line of scrimmage and I'm seeing who's next to Bear. Is it Elijah Hughes? Is it maybe Nate Clifton from Vanderbilt? Is it Anthony Lucas, who this week or last week Sean Newell said is the most versatile defensive lineman on the team? Is it Dejon Lafitte? There's a whole bunch of opportunities for guys to step up now that Rakes is gone, and I wonder who the coaching staff feels the best about to put next to Barry Alexander.
Yeah. We will see. But yeah, hopefully you guys can make it out there. Otherwise, we'll have wall-to-wall coverage, photos, videos, all kinds of stuff over there at the USC spring game. I did want to give a shout-out. Rachel reached out to me. Her husband, his birthday's this month, Keith Williams, big fan of the show, and she had reached out through the Peristyle, say, hey, could you give my husband a shout-out? He'd be really excited. And so, Keith, happy birthday. And, Rachel, thanks for reaching out and hope you guys enjoy the show. It was a good show to be shouted out on because Jacoby Lane just absolutely crushed it. I could see him in broadcasting or something. He could definitely do that if he wants to. Just super smooth. I love that. We had a question from Jack in New Jersey. Considering the recent significant defensive coaching staff upgrades, I find it a little bewildering that Bear Alexander would leave the team at this time. Now, I think he wrote this after when the rumors were he was going in the portal. To get more of a lucrative NIL deal somewhere else, was his ego bruised during spring camp? Are there truly family matters that are drawing him closer to home? Seems like he's leaving a lot of potentially great coaching, which could benefit his draft status. Just curious, Jack in New Jersey.
A lot of people had those same questions, and I was told it was a financial move, and that was taken care of by USC. He's all good now, got a better deal, his camp did, and he's locked in and ready to go.
Yeah, we had a lot of people. Curtis, I'll play this voicemail too. Curtis was kind of concerned about it.
You guys, it's Curtis. This Bear Alexander rumor of him transferring, and he now says he never planned to transfer. He doesn't even know what this is about. Somebody could easily start a rumor in this transfer portal world that we live in and cause a whirlwind. There were so many On3 YouTube places that had Bear Alexander going to Colorado. He's going to Texas. Oregon, of course, Oregon. Hey, all kind of people was going to have Bear Alexander, and it was just a rumor. I guess we're just going to have to get used to this stuff. And Bear Alexander was lighting the ass last year. At 300 pounds, even a defensive tackle is eventually going to get pushed around by sheer weight disadvantage. You got to be 320 on up. like the big boys. Talk to you later, Curtis from Moreno Valley.
But part of, if I'm not mistaken, Connor, and he's like, where does this rumor come from?
His camp told everyone that he was going to go.
Didn't he post it on his Instagram or something?
And he did post it on his own Instagram, but his camp leaked to a lot of people. He's going to go. He's going to leave. He's going to leave.
Yeah.
People did not just make that up.
No, it wasn't made up. So it wasn't like just rumor. But you're right. Like there could be some of that. But I think people can dispel those rumors if something like that.
And he easily, if it was fake, then don't put the graphic on your Instagram story with the emoji. Say, this is wrong. You can, you know, I think he just kind of did some damage control with that tweet. And I don't really take that at face value or hold that against him. That's just part of the game. You stuff goes on behind the scenes and then you come out the other side. No, I don't know what that was all about. So no hard feelings for me for him on that. But to what Curtis was saying, if that really was a rumor and a rumor only, there was no truth behind it at all. He very easily could have said, I don't know where this is coming from and please ignore. I'm locked in at USC. He could have sent that tweet a day or two earlier. Then that would have shut everyone up.
Yeah.
Thank you.
He is someone that transferred a lot in high school.
Yeah.
First college place transfers. I think it's good that he's sticking around. And that's, you know,
it's more than good.
Yeah.
Why do you think he's sticking around? Because Lincoln Riley made sure he was going to stick around. He knows how important Bear Alexander is to this team. Without Bear, you can get away with no Isaiah Rakes. But without Bear, you got real trouble in the middle of that defense. You can't just find another guy like him. So I think, you know, he was a little bit unhappy, and Lincoln Riley said, okay, we can't afford to have this guy unhappy, and now he's around.
We had a question in the YouTube chat. Lamont, please tell me USC isn't seriously thinking about bringing in Cormani McClain in. I don't see him as a fit for USC.
That's sort of how I saw it too, but I did hear yesterday that Cormani, through his people, had reached out to some of the USC collectives, and so I think there's definitely some interest from his side, and I wonder if the interest is real on the USC side, because just 2 years ago, I believe he was a five-star recruit, one of the top, maybe the top cornerback in that class, and maybe there are some character concerns a little bit, especially with him and Deion not really being on the same page last year. He's probably the guy you would take a flyer on because he is so talented and he does have that ability. Now, if he's looking for a huge payday after not really doing anything as a freshman, I don't think USC would be into that. But if there's interest on both sides and he's looking just to come in and keep his head down and work, at least that's what he's going to say, I don't think that would necessarily hurt. USC would need to do their homework on this one, though. I don't think
100%.
I don't think it's a situation where you do everything you can to get this guy like they did with Bear a year ago.
No, I don't think so. And I mean, there were issues. One of his coaches even called him out for like spring
ball.
He wasn't working hard. He wasn't in shape certain spring ball. Like you see that picture of Jacoby Lane, he worked really hard from January to February to get ready for spring. And it didn't sound like McClain was doing that. So, it's hard to go from, if any of you've gone to college, it's a big transition to go from high school if you're an athlete or not. And some players do it really well and some don't. So I think you have to do your homework to make sure he's going to you can't just, it's like you didn't do your homework in high school and you got good grades. And then you get to college and you're like, why am I flunking? Like, because you're not studying anymore. And so sometimes it takes you a semester to kind of get going. And if they feel like that's his case where he can get it rolling as long as he realizes he has to work hard, then you could probably work with him because he's such a talented kid. But if not, then, it's probably not going to work out. So
that's how I see it too. And it's tough to gauge how much a kid will buy in just in these 2 weeks in the transfer portal. So there are ways to try to do your homework without just talking to his camp. You can talk to his high school coach and people around him where he grew up in Florida, but it's challenging. It's not like you're recruiting a high school kid and you recruit him for 2 years and you really know him. Recruiting a guy in 2 weeks, it's different. It's challenging. And I think USC isn't the only school who's dealt with bringing guys in from the transfer portal who didn't work out. It's really hard to plug a lot of holes that way. And that's why Lincoln Riley wants to build more from the high school ranks, and he's felt like he's needed to build from the portal ranks, of course, because the roster wasn't in a good spot. It makes a lot of sense, but recruiting from the high school rank, that's always going to be the way to build your team the best way, or to build your team the best.
Swayze says, DL, think you guys addressed the callers.
Yeah, I saw that comment. He didn't think we addressed how USC's undersized on the defensive line.
He's like, P equals MV and F equals MN.
Yeah, all I can say to that is with Benny Wiley and the new staff, they've bulked up. So the Sam Greens of the world and some of the guys who Alex Grinch recruited who are undersized, they're just going to be undersized. And I don't know how much we'll see of them this year. But, I mean, Bear Alexander, to Curtis's point, could he bulk up a little more? Yeah, but 300-pound athletic guy, I'm not going to complain about his body. He looks the part. Nate Clifton, I think, looks the part. Jameel Muhammad, to me, a little bit undersized, but I think he's one of those guys who can really help you this year as an edge rusher. Anthony Lucas has that crazy body, and people have talked a lot about how he's made big strides. I think they're trying their best to make an improvement with some of the size stuff, and I don't really know what else to say. Like, you're not going to bring in 500-300-pound guys from the portal. They're doing the best they can, and I think right now we just kind of have to tip our caps to them what else can you do? You can't overhaul a defensive line in one offseason. You can bring in better coaches. You can change the diets and try to bulk people up. I think they're doing all they can. I don't really have a problem with the defensive line right now. I think Lincoln Riley knew after last season that it wasn't good enough, and he's gone a really, really long way to make sure it gets better.
100%. We got one last one. We'll let you go. We got to get Chris in here. I got a HOA meeting I'm not really excited about. I got to go to, but Chris will be doing the Composite Two-Star Recruits podcast right after us. Serb, USC has interest in CJ West, Kent State defensive lineman. Should we expect a visit?
He hasn't even tweeted about getting an offer from USC. I think they definitely do have interest, but a lot of schools have offered him. Michigan came in today. I think the first step with him would be him reporting an offer and then take it from there.
All right. Well, keep watching over at uscfootball.com. If you're not a member, we talk about the Peristyle. That's the premium message board. We are doing a portal 60% off sale over there. Should have mentioned that earlier. So if for whatever reason you're not a subscriber, go over. This is an amazing deal. 60% off. You get a year's worth. You can try it out. I think you'll like it. Get in the Peristyle. You'll start getting in conversations with a lot of USC fans from all over the world talking about all these things. So I think you'll really enjoy it. A lot of great information over there. So make sure you go check it out. But we'll keep you up to date on what's going on in the portal. And like I mentioned, there'll be a Composite Two-Star Recruits podcast coming up with Gerard and Chris talking all about things USC recruiting, and the portal is a part of that too. But it was great. Loved Jacoby Lane being on. So thanks so much to him. Thanks to House of Victory again for setting that up. We really appreciate the partnership with them because they've been very helpful. And hopefully it's informative for you guys to, instead of 5 minutes after practice or a game, we can sit down with a player for a half hour or so and really kind of get them to know them a little better. It's fun for us, and hopefully it's fun for all of you guys too. But yeah, it's going to wrap it up. Any last words, Connor?
See you Saturday at the Coliseum, hopefully.
Yes, we'll see you there. Thanks, everyone, for listening and tuning in. For Connor Morissette, I'm Ryan Abraham. Hope you enjoyed the show, and we will talk to you next time.
Trader Joe's in Southern California. We go way back.
Kind of like USC football.
In the beginning, it was so bad that Dave Hetzel and I took turns dressed in a gorilla suit, flagging people in.
That's from episode 1 of Inside Trader Joe's. We hope you'll check it out.
Or some of our other podcast episodes about the past, present, and future of Trader Joe's and all those cool products.
Inside Trader Joe's is available wherever you listen to podcasts.
You've been listening to the Peristyle Podcast, presented by USCFootball.com. Be sure to tune in next week for the latest news on Trojan football and recruiting. And don't forget, you can automatically download the podcast directly to your smartphone or tablet for free. Just click the iTunes link on PeristylePodcast.com or search for Peristyle Podcast at the iTunes Music Store.